Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Well, we do have a key state alert with Doug Bernard in the Results Center. Doug, what do you have?
Yes, we do. In fact, so the
Doug, turn your mic on. That always helps.
There we go.
I'll ask the guys. There we go. In the studio to do that. So at this point, two quick updates, smaller updates. First, Secretary Clinton has won New Mexico, and Mr. Trump has won Montana. Now, that being said, Fox News, CNN, and NBC News have made two key calls. The Associated Press has not yet made these calls, but they're all reporting the same results. That would be that Donald Trump has won Ohio and that Hillary Clinton has won Virginia. If that pans out, those are two key results. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. Again, the Associated Press is not calling that, but this is a call that has been made by three news organizations, NBC, Fox News, and CNN.
Ohio, a very key state that Mr. Trump has really been going after hard to win, and one that many feel has to win in order to take the election. Real quickly, Doug, you know, we started off with the House of Representatives. The Republicans had control, holding a majority, 246 seats, the Democrats, 218. There were 16 races seen as toss-ups, even if the Democrats won all those.
There were, and those races at this point, we're not seeing those races actually come out yet. But it is looking like the House GOP, House Republicans, will maintain control of that chamber. And just also this update, increasingly it's looking like, I'm just looking at a number of calls from the Associated Press in the Senate, and we're seeing more Senate seats go to the Republican, whether that they were seats that they already held or seats that have turned to Republican. So at this point, it is possible that we might be looking at the Republicans maintaining control of the Senate as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doug Bernard, in the VOA Results Center.
All right. Well, many Americans have cast their ballots in this election day on machines that experts say are just way too easy to tamper with. And with Russian cyber attackers accused of trying to influence the election, many are calling for an overhaul of the machines that record the U.S. votes. VOA's Steve Barragona met researchers working to build voting machines that are much tougher to hack.
A Bic pen. It is a round stick, medium.
That's all University of Michigan graduate student Matt Bernhard needs to break into this voting machine.
There we go.
These machines are in use in 20 states. Behind the door is the prize, the memory card where votes are stored.
If you were so inclined, you could come into the voter booth to vote, pop out the memory card, put your own in, install some malware.
Not only that, but we were able to develop a voting machine virus that would silently spread from machine to machine, going from a single point of infection to compromise an entire county, maybe even an entire state.
Alex Halderman is a computer science professor at the University of Michigan. He's been studying electronic voting machines for more than a decade.
When I started working in election systems, the concern was somewhat academic, that someone could hack in and tamper with votes. But over the last 10 years, the rise of nation-state attackers has really upped the ante.
And attackers don't have to steal votes to taint an election, he adds.
In 2014 in Ukraine, attackers linked to Russia hacked into the central election counting system and tried to make it so they'd report the wrong results in order to discredit the election. That's a realistic threat here, too.
Or hackers could tamper with voter rolls, preventing registered voters from casting ballots.
We're in the process of test voting right here. And
Terry Burton heads the Board of Elections in Wood County, Ohio. It's his job to be sure voting goes smoothly here. One key safeguard? These machines keep a paper copy of how the voter voted.
So if there's ever any question of, you know, is that memory card good? Is it recording correctly? The voter had an opportunity to look at the paper copy. We can look at the paper copy and verify that that memory card and the electronic information was correct.
How often voters check the paper copy is unclear. And a quarter of voters nationwide will cast ballots on machines that have no paper backup. But it would be hard to hack all the different kinds of machines in use across the country. So experts say any effects would likely be modest and localized. Furton is not too worried.
Could someone do things to interrupt Election Day? Yes. They probably could make my day a very long day. But we feel confident that we could get the voters that are registered and are appropriately registered voted.
I just hope the election isn't close.
Steve Barragona, VOA News, Bowling Green, Ohio.
Andrew Palchevsky has been following social media for us, and as we talk about voting machines and votes, there is one website where you can track what's going on. However, I understand you can't at the moment.
Absolutely. There's this website, 270towin.com. Of course, 270 being the number of electoral votes that you need to win the presidency. And people have been using this site to map out what states might go red or blue. Well, there is so much interest in this, understandably so, that the website has actually crashed. So when you try to access 270towin.com, you get a message that says unable to connect. And that just shows the level of interest online and how much research people are doing and how much they're trying to finagle this map to see who might win.
Yes, as the night goes on, this is getting much more interesting. Doug Bernard.
This update, Voice of America, is now projecting that the state of Ohio is in the Trump camp, the Trump column. That is a significant prize in electoral votes. That brings Mr. Trump to 169 votes and Hillary Clinton at 109.
Okay. We now go to the White House with VOA's Cindy Sain, who joins us. Cindy, you followed developments relating to Russian cyber activities, as we just heard a little bit briefly from Steve Barragona. How possible is the threat, and what has been the response from the Obama administration?
Well, as if this night were not nerve-wracking enough for most of us with a much closer election, and especially Democrats a bit shaken up, there's also some fears. We have the unprecedented state of affairs that Homeland Security came out and formally accused the Kremlin of cyber attacks onto Democratic Party computers, and WikiLeaks released Democratic Party emails which were damaging to Hillary Clinton. And most experts that I've talked to, including people who had worked in the U.S. counterterrorism for decades, said that the main goal of Russia and the Kremlin is to discredit the American election system, not necessarily to actually influence the vote, but so that Russian President Putin can say, look, Americans also have trouble with their election system. But right now, President Putin may be liking what he sees, as Donald Trump is currently in the lead.
Well, the threat of cyber attacks will only increase, of course, an issue certainly to be inherited by the next president. I know we're talking about not an incumbent president in the White House right now, but what's the mood there at the moment?
Well, it's very quiet, and I would guess that President Obama is biting his nails as he's watching the election returns. President Obama had invested a lot into this campaign. For much of the past 3 weeks, he's been out on the trail for Hillary Clinton, including a big rally in Philadelphia. So he had basically said that, you know, all of his legacy, all the things that he's accomplished in the past 8 years, was depending on the fate of this election and on his Democrat, fellow Democrat, Hillary Clinton, being elected.
All right, Cindy Sain, in what is a rather quiet White House basement where our booth is located. Thank you so much. We'll check back in with you a little bit later.
All right. Thank you.
You are listening to America Votes 2016 on The Voice of America.
Everybody's talking about how Iraq, which is us with our leadership, goes in to fight Mosul. Now, with these 200 admirals and generals, they can't believe it. All I say is this: General George Patton, General Douglas MacArthur are spinning in their grave at the stupidity of what we're doing in the Middle East.
I would not use American ground forces in Syria. I think that would be a very serious mistake. I don't think American troops should be holding territory, which is what they would have to do as an occupying force. I don't think that is a smart strategy. I do think the use of special forces, which we're using, the use of enablers and trainers in Iraq, which has had some positive effects, are very much in our interests.
Well, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton, during their second presidential debate, discussing foreign policy, obviously very differing views. Concerned about the outcome of this election, though, the world has been watching closely as Clinton and Trump tout their plans for handling terrorism and global issues. So how do the two candidates view the world, and where do they stand on foreign policy issues, ranging from handling international alliances to defeating Islamic State? Masoud Farivar has more in this report, narrated by Mil Arcega.
NATO, the 67-year-old Western military alliance, has been thrust into the bitter U.S. presidential campaign.
We've got to work more closely with our allies. And that's something that Donald has been very dismissive of.
We've been working with them for many years, and we have the greatest mess anyone's ever seen.
Differences over America's commitment to NATO, says political scientist Jeremy Mayer, underscore the worldviews of the two candidates.
I think Trump is a nationalist. He's a populist, whereas Hillary Clinton is an internationalist, a multilateralist.
Trump wants a stronger military and promises a foreign policy based on American interests. For her part, Clinton pledges to use all the tools of power, from diplomacy to development, to advance American foreign policy. The contrasting visions have led to stark differences over policy towards adversaries such as Russia.
I don't know, Putin. I think it would be great if we got along with Russia, because we could fight ISIS together.
Clinton takes a more hawkish stance.
I've stood up to Russia. I've taken on Putin and others. And I would do that as president. I think
the two also sharply disagree over the Iran nuclear agreement. Trump calls it a bad deal for the U.S. Clinton says it's put a lid on Tehran's nuclear weapons program. On defeating Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, the foreign policy issue most Americans care about, their policy differences have come through loud and clear.
I don't like Assad at all, but Assad is killing ISIS. Russia is killing ISIS, and Iran is killing ISIS. And those three have now lined up because of our weak foreign policy.
Russia hasn't paid any attention to ISIS. They're interested in keeping Assad in power. So I, when I was Secretary of State, advocated, and I advocate today, a no-fly zone and safe zones.
But as in most past U.S. elections, voters care more about other issues, such as jobs and the economy, instead of foreign policy. I'm Mil Arcega for Masood Farivar, VOA News, Washington.
Robert G. Boatwright is a professor of political science at Clark University in Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
As we continue to discuss foreign policy and the U.S. military, these are very important issues to our listeners around the world. Help us explain the differences between what Donald Trump has been talking about in terms of foreign policy and Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's not really my primary of expertise, but I can give it a shot here.
Okay.
Clinton's policy, I think, has been relatively cautious. She has promised to be slightly more hawkish, I think, than the Obama administration. Trump doesn't necessarily have a coherent view of foreign policy. He's talked a lot about the importance of surprise, of keeping people guessing. So I think the world is going to figure out just exactly what his foreign policy is. We've heard a lot of different things about the U.S. commitment to NATO, our interest in various other countries, but it's hard to know whether that amounts to a coherent policy or whether that was just campaign rhetoric.
So what do you make of what's happening this evening in this campaign? It's looking a lot different than anybody expected.
It certainly is. The really puzzling thing is that the early voting returns were looking quite good for Clinton. I think going into this morning, Democrats really felt like they had this. So this has really been a little bit of a shocker for them, I think. It seems clear that white rural voters have just gone overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. So there's going to be a lot of second guessing. I think the expectation was that Democrats really had a good ground game and really had the mechanisms to get people out. So all of that has been completely overwhelmed.
What is your take on the heavy amount of early voting?
Again, I think that Democrats had a lot of metrics to evaluate this, and I think that they certainly encouraged people in a lot of the battleground states to get out and vote earlier. But states have also adjusted their laws regarding early voting, which made it very hard to figure out exactly what was going on. They were benchmarking a lot of this against 2012, but you had some states that expanded the early voting hours, others that contracted them. So it's really looking like many of the predictions based on early voting were in fact incorrect as well.
Any other significant points that you see regarding what's happening and what we can expect for the rest of the evening? Do you think it's just going to be a nail-biter for the rest of the night? Will we note tonight?
It looks to me like the states to really watch are Wisconsin and Michigan. Those are both states that were not projected to be all that close. Right now, Trump seems to be ahead in some of those places. For a little while this evening, he was ahead in some of the returns in Minnesota, which is a state that nobody really took seriously at all. So I think it is the outcome is not going to be clear for quite some time. If we just look at the calendar of when things close, it's possible this could all come down to Nevada. That's the state where the polls close the latest. So I think there's been a lot made about Trump's success in Florida, North Carolina, some of the early states. Again, those were not states that Clinton absolutely needed, but Wisconsin and Michigan, it's virtually impossible to see her winning the election without winning those two. So that's what we should be watching.
All right. Robert G. Boatwright, professor of political science at Clark University, thank you so much for joining us. I suspect you're going to be up late with the rest of us.
It's going to be a long night. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Right. We're going to head out to California now, where Mike O'Sullivan is standing by. He's our VOA correspondent in Los Angeles. It's a solid Democratic state in California. Mike, what can you tell us is happening out there at this hour?
Well, we know the polls will be closing in 15 minutes. We don't know how heavy the turnout has been statewide, but, from everything we're hearing and from everything we've seen, it's been pretty heavy. Lineups of 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or even longer at many polling stations. Not many glitches. In one case, the ballots arrived 2 hours late to an L.A. polling station. Another tragedy occurred unrelated, we think, so far to the election. There was a shooting in a city very close to a polling station, but police don't know the motive, and there's no indication yet that it was related. But that closed down a couple of polling stations in this small city, Azusa, while police conduct their investigation. But basically, things are going smoothly. It's a Democratic state. We know that Hillary Clinton is going to carry the state. That's 55 electoral votes out of the 270 that she needs if she's going to win.
Now, the Asian and Hispanic vote, of course, very important and interesting topic to our audience. Asian voters have been traditionally Republican. Has that you seen a shift in that in the state in this cycle?
We've seen a shift over a number of years, and some people trace it to the riots that happened, the civil disturbances of the early 1990s, and in South Central Los Angeles. And from that point on, many communities, including the Korean community, who owned a lot of the shops in that area, tended to move more and more toward the Democratic Party and became more concerned with social issues. So there is something of a divide, but younger Asian American voters tend to be more Democratic now, and some of the older ones are Republican, but they seem to be moving in the direction of the Democrats.
All right. Thank you so much. Mike O'Sullivan in Los Angeles. We'll be checking back with you a little bit later. Right now, we want to shift our attention to the VOA Results Center. Doug Bernard has news for us.
Earlier, we had reported that several news agencies were reporting that Virginia had gone for Hillary Clinton. VOA is now calling Virginia for Hillary Clinton. Two updates, however, also for you. The Associated Press and VOA are calling the states of Colorado and New Mexico for Hillary Clinton as well. That puts, by my calculations, Hillary Clinton at 131 electoral votes. Donald Trump still leads, however, at 169. And those stubborn states that we just heard about, Michigan, Wisconsin, we're still waiting for Florida, North Carolina, still waiting on results from those two.
All right. Thank you very much, Doug. We'll check back.
All right. Well, there could be a surge, we've heard, in Muslim voters this election, in part because of comments that Republican candidate Donald Trump said. Here's where it all started.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives
can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. We have no choice.
Well, then he got into a fight with a Muslim Gold Star family, meaning they family that had lost a loved one in the line of duty. Well, Qasr Khan, whose son was killed in Afghanistan, spoke at the Democratic convention and had some strong words for Trump.
Hillary Clinton was right when she called my son the best of America. If it was up to Donald Trump, he never would have been in America. Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country.
Let's talk more about this with VOA's Kane Farabaugh, who is monitoring the election in Michigan, which has a very large Muslim population. Kane, are we able to find out what the turnout was and what folks there are saying?
Well, you know, there was a large number of Muslim Americans that turned out to vote just anecdotally by talking to a lot of people here in the community. You know, the polling location that I was at in Dearborn, which is a heavily Muslim American community, an Arab American community, had a steady stream of voters that were coming in to vote throughout the day. Here now I'm at the Arab American National Museum in Dearborn, where there's a watch party. And earlier in the night, there was a very large crowd here that had gathered to watch the election results. But as the election results wear into the night, the crowd has significantly thinned. And it's kind of remarkable because the final tally here in Michigan hasn't even been announced yet. And this is the state where a large number of Muslim Americans are voting. So, already they've decided to pack up and go home before the results here in Michigan have been finalized. So I think, the mood is shifting here.
So I know you did a whole documentary on Muslim candidates, and you've learned a lot from what their concerns are. What can you tell us about what their biggest concerns are regarding this country and going forward, and which candidate they really felt more intensely about?
Well, certainly, probably by a wide margin, Muslim Americans are in support of Hillary Clinton, and not necessarily as a vote in support of her, but more or less as a vote against Donald Trump, specifically because of the comments that you had played there previously in the program. And, I think there's a lot of people here who had a lot of concerns about Hillary Clinton's foreign policy. Those were some of the questions many of them had, but obviously domestically and as far as immigration and other concerns that they have, those were qualities that Hillary Clinton was attractive to them for. I think universally everybody here is concerned about Donald Trump's immigration policy, what he would do regarding immigration from Muslim countries, and that would impact a lot of people that live here and a lot of their families in other parts of the world.
All right. Thank you so much. VOA Midwest correspondent Kane Farabaugh in Michigan.
We have some big news to report. Doug Bernard is in the Results Center.
Big news, about 29 electoral votes worth of news. The Associated Press is reporting that Donald Trump has taken Florida. So Florida now in the Trump column. That's 29 more electoral votes. That puts him, by my calculations, at 198, with Hillary Clinton remaining at 131.
VOA national correspondent Jim Malone, this is big.
It is big, and it's on track for Trump to broaden his path to the magical number of 270. Look, this thing is going to come down to a couple of states. It's going to come down to Michigan and Wisconsin, states we probably didn't figure it was going to come down to, and maybe Nevada in the West. I've been doing some rough calculations here, and one of my calculations, putting states together for Clinton, gets me to 269.
Oh. Wow, razor thin.
And then you have the state of Maine, which has four electoral votes, but two of the electoral votes are based on congressional district voting. This is a crazy situation right now. And again, Trump is leading in Michigan and Wisconsin, but less than half the vote is in those places. So we're still waiting. And Clinton is doing well in places like Colorado, New Mexico, in the West where she was supposed to. She picked up Virginia. That was huge, even though Trump got very close. So this thing is in flux, and we really have to watch the upper Midwest now. The industrial heartland, and this was one of the appeals that Trump was trying to make all along, the white working class, trade deals, all of that seems to be playing out a bit in the upper Midwest.
Wow, the sands are shifting. We're here for the duration. Stay with VOA as this develops. We're going to go to Beijing, China. That's where we find VOA correspondent Bill Ide. It's well into Wednesday now in Beijing. Good morning, I guess, Bill, right?
Yes, well, we're getting pushing on noon here now.
Okay, lunchtime.
Yeah.
What are you hearing
in
the capital there?
I spent the morning at a local restaurant and pub. It's called The Local, fitting name. And there was a good-sized crowd there, largely Hillary supporters. I didn't meet anyone who said they were a Trump supporter. And as the morning, you know, got off and results started to come in, the mood was quite bright, but as the morning wore on, it quickly changed. And when I just left, there was some excitement about Virginia going to Clinton, but overall, a very, very calm mood, very nervous. A lot of foreign expats who obviously are not hoping that Trump will win.
Well, Donald Trump has made, to say the least, quite a few comments about China during the campaign. How is that sitting with the Chinese residents as a whole?
You know, that's the interesting thing. Both candidates have had strong things to say about China, and Trump probably more so. But you do find a lot of people here who say they like Trump. They don't really know much about what he's said on the campaign trail, but they say they like him as a businessman. I was speaking earlier with one woman who's been living here in China for several years. She works with many businesses here, Chinese companies, and heads of those companies say they respect Trump. But then when she asked them about the details about him and what his policies might be, his free trade stance, they don't know as much about that. So really, on a whole, the election has not been watched too closely. It's generated some interest, especially on social media. State media, of course, has used it as a way of kind of knocking democracy and criticizing democracy and telling the public that, see, this is why we don't need democracy, because look at how chaotic things are in the United States.
Well, that was going to be my next question as to how state media is treating this. Are they giving it a whole lot of attention, or is this mostly commentary?
Well, like I said, the commentary has mostly focused on democracy and, you know, knocking democracy and why it's risky and how the whole thing is kind of like a sideshow or has become a sideshow. But the attention that has been given to the race really hasn't picked up until the past few weeks.
All right.
And there's been a little bit more. And on social media, you do have a lot more discussion, a broader discussion of who the candidates are, what individual Chinese think of the candidates. But state media on a whole, it's more from an ideological standpoint. They also talk about, you know, the realities on the ground as well.
Okay.
In the United States and how voters are struggling with the realities of where the United States is at this point.
Bill Ide in Beijing. Bill, thank you so much. We'll check back with you in just a little bit as we wrap up this hour. Doug Bernard, where do we stand right now as we quickly wrap up here?
Well, no new updates at this point. We beyond that very large news that we just reported on maybe about 10, 15 minutes ago, that Donald Trump has carried Florida. We're clearly still waiting on key states. I mean, Jim Malone had mentioned a few of these earlier. I'm also looking for results from New Hampshire in addition to Maine. We're looking for results from North Carolina and some others. So we'll keep watching.
We'll check back. Thank you, Doug Bernard. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.